Hello and welcome to the Meat Improv with me, Josh Simpson.
And me, Jake Jabor.
The Meat is the improv and storytelling podcast where we bring on comedian guests to tell true meaty stories from their lives.
And then we use those stories as inspiration for long-form, improvised comedic scenes.
That's right. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/themeatimprov, where we do an extra bonus episode every week where we talk about improv inside baseball, sometimes talk about moves we make on this very podcast. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, patreon.com/themeatimprov. And we also got t-shirts, tpublic.com/themeatimprov. $2 in our pockets every time you buy one of those. We're getting rich like fat cats. So keep throwing coins at Jake and I. That's it. Let's get to the show. Today we have two very special guests, improvisers in Los Angeles. You might have seen them on teams like Silver Sharpies, which I've seen a million times, and Cosmo. Give it up for James Saldivar. Hi, James.
Hey. What's up?
Hi, James.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on. And Joseph Setti. Did I say that right, Joseph? I asked James how to say it.
Hey. Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. Setti. That's perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. We got Joe is out in a park right now. Which you could probably hear right then, but you know this is the situation that we're all
a park, motorcycle. Yeah, sorry about that. I had no clue they're doing some sort of meet going on right now. There's like a car meet going on, but this is where I get good reception. So sorry,
Joe. Yeah,
you're at a car show, right?
Yeah, they have the best internet. So we're, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do, but you know, I'll tell them the question.
You gotta see those classic cars.
Yeah, classic cars.
I'm a big Jay Leno fan and I love everything that he likes.
People don't.
That's what being a fan of Jay Leno is. You just take on his interests.
Yeah. I love denim.
Our listeners can't tell, but Joe is wearing denim jeans and a denim button up tucked in. Mm-hmm.
And he's asking dumb passersby simple questions.
Well, shall we get to headlines, Joe? You want to take us through headlines?
The debate. No, I can't do it.
I once was in a fake jaywalking segment. Did you know that, Jake?
I did not.
How was it? How was it fake?
It was like stage. So it was like, it was for the show that Jay Leno did after he did the Tonight Show. So that little half hour thing that like came on after Conan, I think, or that was supposed to be before. It was very strange. And I was, I was just like a man, like, I forget exactly what it was. Oh, it was like, he was doing jaywalking and then one guy kept following him around or something like that. Like as he was jaywalking and I was just one of the rubes. So I was just one of the people that was like acting like a real jaywalking guy. Like, oh, well, I don't know. Jay Leno was a nice guy. I don't know. Shortly after that, I actually went to that protest at NBC Universal where they wanted Conan to keep the Tonight Show slot or whatever when he like resigned. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a protest. And obviously I didn't know you went to it.
There was a lot of guys that looked like me there. but I was filming stuff for Funny or Die, so it was a little more excusable, but it was kind of funny. That's where I got my feet wet protesting. There had been Iraq wars and stuff like that in my adulthood, but I was like, Conan should hang on to the spot. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
Simpler times, I think, protesting TV show lineup.
Yeah. I was very passionate that Conan deserved the Tonight Show. And then I worked for Conan for a while, and then I lost my passion. I had something, I forget what it was. Oh, just you recording outside, Joe, reminded me of, like, there's one time I was at, I'm just sharing stories from 10 years ago. One time I was at Disneyland and I was on mushrooms, and I got a phone call in the middle of it from someone I'd shot a video with, and they wanted me to record voiceover for the video right then into my phone. Ugh.
Nightmare.
Nightmare. So I had to, like, find a quiet corner of, like, a cafe in Disneyland and, like record VO into my, like, voice memo app. And then, like,
that's hard to do even if you weren't on mushrooms. Like, yeah, that's insane.
I feel like looking at your phone on mushrooms is like looking at, like, future technology. It looks like Minority Report or something like that.
How'd the recording turn out?
Obviously dubbed. It made it into the video. I forget even what the video was. It was something I was paid for. So it wasn't like a friend just, it wasn't just a fuck around thing totally. It was like something I did get paid for. It was a commercial, which made it all the more stressful. Anyway, there's two stories for me. What do you guys got?
I mean, I've been doing Zoom outside. My reception's really bad. I kind of live in the mountains in Monrovia, California. And the worst thing that's happened to me is a spider had got on my arm while I was recording something. And it was the biggest spider. I hate spiders. And it was the biggest spider I've ever seen. And it was just crawling up my arm. And I felt it. And I saw it in the Zoom. And, like, it was a nightmare to see that.
You saw it, like, in your video in the Zoom?
Yeah, I was watching the video. And you know how when you do Zoom, you just stare at yourself the whole time? Or that is what I do? So yeah. I was, like, just watching watching myself. And I felt something on my arm. And I looked down on the video. And I just saw this, like, brown spider. Yeah. And, that was the worst. That was bad. But other than that, it's usually kind of nice recording outside. Like, I don't know. And it's fun to see people walking by if you're, like, doing a scene and they're like, what is that guy doing? And you're just, like, yelling into the computer. And I don't know. It still adds, like, a bit of, like, performance to it, even though they're not privy to, like, what you're doing or why you're doing it. But I still feel like I'm, like, performing a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit more live than the rest of us.
Yeah, you have an audience. Holy shit.
I was talking with somebody yesterday who said they were on a Zoom call, like an important Zoom call, and they, this story isn't about me, but they stubbed their toe and started screaming and fell out of screen. And their girlfriend just closed the laptop. So they had to, like, call back later and be like, I didn't, like, fall down a pit or anything. I'm okay. Or get attacked. It wasn't in a Kelsey Grammer falling off the stage moment. Quite possibly my favorite video of all time. I think we're all experiencing a little of that.
I don't know what you're talking about. Kelsey Grammer fell off a stage?
Oh, there's this YouTube video where he's, like, presenting an award or something, and I think he's maybe the host, and he's, like, in a tuxedo, like a black tie thing, and he just falls off the stage, like, into the orchestra pit. So he's just like, toss salad and scramble. Good Lord!
I think that happened at Disney World.
That makes sense. The thing I like about Kelsey Grammer is that he is just kind of like a buffoon actor who we've all... He's played a super intellectual, a grumpy old idiot. Somebody was telling me, this has nothing to do with anything, but in his autobiography, he, like, there's, like, a passage where he's like, and people said I was jealous of the dog. I wasn't jealous of the dog. The dog would get lots of fan mail, and the dog didn't have to do anything. I'm talking real shit.
I can't. I'm going to my trailer. This this hooch is pissing me off. I don't want to do.
Okay, Kelsey. Okay, yeah. Kelsey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Calm down. Okay. I got the handler. I took him off the set. You know, I took him off the set. He's not on the set right now.
Well, what am I supposed to do? He's upstaging me at every turn. He's supposed to be a fun buddy cop comedy, Turner and Hooch 2, where I play an old grumpy cop that needs to be uplifted by their new canine companion. And then every scene, he comes in and he just like walks in front of me, walks in front of my eye line. He kissed my love interest off unscripted. Unscripted.
He's adorable. He's adorable. This is like part of it. Like, listen, you got to have the dog in the scene, Kelsey. Like this, if we kept trying to get the dog out of the movie like you want, it's not going to be a buddy cop movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's just doing what he's supposed to be doing right now.
Well, agree to disagree, because I think that the dog, if every cop I've seen with the dog is obedient. The dog is at the side. The dog is, you know, one time I had drugs in the airport and I was told not to pet the dog that came up and sniffed at my bags because it was working. Like the dogs, I just feel like it's unprofessional more than anything. And
you had drugs on you, and a drug sniffing dog came up to you, and the person you were with told you not to touch the dog. You were going to touch that dog?
I was trying to run at the wave a little bit. I had drugs at the airport. A cop came by with a drug sniffing dog. I came onto the dog in a way, not in a sexual way, but I engaged the dog first so that it wouldn't be suspicious when the dog sniffed me out. I came up to the dog and I shoved pepperonis in its mouth, and they said, "Oh my stay God. Away from the dog. The dog is working."
Okay. All right.
We're losing daylight here. We're losing daylight, and then we're going to have to pay Hooch extra. So we need to wrap up this.
Hooch is getting paid extra?
If he goes over, yeah, Hooch is getting paid extra. So,
sorry, I don't want to be too forward, but as a dog's trainer, Millie, she has to be at the retirement home before dinner because she's going to go say hi to the retirees.
Aww.
So she can't go over.
I say hi to retirees. I do work like that. I once went to a nursing home and I blew everyone's mind. They were like, oh my God, it's the guy from Cheers. I go to nursing homes.
Kelsey, did you forget your character's name from the show Frasier?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
All right. Well, all right. Let's.
I thought you were going to say Niles, and then you said the guy from Cheers, which is maybe second or third how I would describe.
That's what those old piles of shit said, not me.
Whoa.
Well, I'm getting cranky. We're losing daylight. Hey. This dog is getting fed pepperoni treats between every take. I'm sitting here begging for a fucking Clementine. I can't get anything going my way. Can we get this thing on the road? You're treating this dog like it's the second coming of fucking doggy Christ.
All right. Somebody get Kelsey a Clementine.
pepperoni?
Okay. Somebody get Kelsey some pepperoni. We'll shoot this.
Oh, Millie. Oh, there you go. Good job. You got Kelsey's and Clementine, the whole bag of them, Millie?
I don't want the Clementine.
Walk it over
to
him.
This dog is stupid. I want pepper. This dog. Don't worry about it.
Okay. We have spare pepperoni, if that was what you were going to say.
You do?
Yeah, I got a whole bag of pepperoni.
Okay, what do you want me to do for it?
How about the scene? Well, this is the scene where your love interest falls into the water and Hooch jumps in, swims, and saves your love interest, bringing her back on while you are steering the ship, keeping the boat from crashing into the other boat.
Got it.
You ready to go?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Sound. This is Turner and Hooch 2, Pooch on the Loose. And action.
Hurry. Hurry. They're going to catch up to us. Oh, no.
Why are you standing on the railing? I'll steer the boat. This is a crowded stream.
Good. Good. All right. Great.
I'm slipping. I fell in the water.
Okay, great. We see Pooch jump into the water, rescues the love interest. Great. All right.
Okay, I'll go. I'll get her.
No, she. What?
Get out of here, you stupid mutt. Come here, baby. And now we kiss.
Oh, cut. Cut.
Oh, Hooch gets to kiss her anytime he wants. And he's praised for it. He's praised for being a darling improviser. I pull Dame Judi Dench out of this river one time and plant a wet one on her. And suddenly Kelsey Grammer is a big old, is getting me too'd. Is that what's happening? Whatever.
No, you're not getting me too'd.
Okay.
That didn't happen. You went way off script.
I went off script. Hooch is licking his balls the whole first part of that scene.
That's in the script.
But wait.
That's in the script.
All right, let's get to the meat part of the podcast. This is where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. James, you are up first. What would you like to talk about?
Yeah, so I've been home a lot and been watching a lot of like videos of like hardcore bands playing like on YouTube. So I used to go to a bunch of shows when I was younger, and I just I was thinking about the one. There's only one time I got kicked out of a show, mm-hmm. and I was at the wrong person. I got kicked out. So this was at a Boys Night Out show in like 2006 at Chain Reaction.
Was Boys Night Out the name of the band?
Yeah, they're like a pop punk band.
So when you say hardcore, do you mean like is this like punk? Screamo, or is it just like, is it like metal, or is it like, give me a few band names to give me like a something to
more punk. Let's see. Like Ceremony is really into, also like Hatebreed was bigger. Have Heart.
No, Hatebreed.
Yeah.
So is it the kind that's like,
yeah, and very fast.
What's the one I know that?
Well, where do you like? I got into Hatebreed a little bit as a. Like through, it went like Pantera, Sepultura, Hatebreed is like Hatebreed, how I got there.
Yeah, Hatebreed was big enough to be on like Headbangers Ball, and like they're closer to metal. And
Blood for Blood, I think is one.
Yeah, yeah, that was same era. Is into Blood for Blood. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm. I don't know it.
For Josh, explain how far away from Cannibal Corpse it is. That's Josh's meter.
Oh, from Ace Ventura? it's not that far from Cannibal Corpse, I guess. It's not too crazy. But the show I got kicked out of was a pop punk show. That was a Boys Night Out show. And so this is a Chain Reaction in Anaheim. And when they have hardcore shows, they allow stage diving. But when it's pop punk and stuff, they don't, because those shows are more crowded and people get more hurt.
They aren't as crowded, or they are crowded?
They're much more crowded.
I feel like that's when you should stage dive.
Yeah, but it's also the kids at hardcore shows, I guess, are more used to stage diving than the kids at pop punk shows at that time.
Okay.
It was a dumb policy that they only enforced for certain shows, basically. But so there's no stage diving policy at this Boys Night Out show. And I was just standing in the back, but like Boys Night Out was very big at that time, especially in like for a Chain Reaction show, it got real packed. And this guy did stage dive, and he was coming through the crowd. He fell on me. He fell on my head. I blacked out, and the guards picked me up and dragged me out, and the guy that was stage diving just went back in the crowd.
You got... So he basically landed on you?
Yeah, he landed on me, and my friend said we were wearing the same outfit.
So then what did you do for the rest of the show?
I waited outside.
For the whole show?
It was like the last 20 minutes.
Okay. Are you somebody who regularly like gets in the pit or?
At that time I was doing a lot of stage diving and stuff. I didn't mosh a lot because I did get real. My friends knew me as a guy that always get hurt if I went in like near to moshing. I remember one time I got kicked in the stomach and I had to sit down for the rest of a band set.
I feel like that makes me think of like times at shows where crazy shit like has happened, and then we're all kind of surprised it's happened, but we shouldn't be surprised because it was like kind of inciting violence or whatever. Like the bands would often like do that. I saw
like Limp Bizkit at the what was it? Woodstock 99.
What did Limp Bizkit do at Woodstock 99?
That was the one where there was a big riot at the end and they were singing Break Stuff.
Oh, okay. I forgot
we're
about
burning
their song.
Stuff, yeah.
I forgot about their song Break Stuff. I'm only, after Nookie, I checked out.
I think it was the very next song.
I just had it on repeat on my Discman, the little one. I saw Mustard Plug, I think is the name. Does that sound like a band name? Yeah, maybe. I think so. I thought they were slightly more hardcore, but that guy would like scream at the audience and be like, fuck you. And like whip, he'd like chug his water bottle and whip water at the audience or whatever. And this was at a theater in Fort Collins where I went to college, and they were selling those Mickey's grenades, which are like Mickey's malt liquor, but they're about the size of your fist, and they're shaped like a grenade. And
how could that go wrong?
And sure enough, like I was at the bar, and some other guy at the bar was like, it's like they're asking us to throw these. And then like 30 minutes into the set, the lead singer was like, fuck you, like to the audience or whatever. And somebody just whipped a fucking glass Mickey's grenade at him and hit him right in the face. And he dropped the mic and like grabbed his face. Like the song stopped, everything stopped. And then, you know, like they like pointed to security and somebody, they figured out, and they like took the guy out and he shook it off and then just went back to fucking, rocking. But I was like, this is crazy. I'm trying to think. Dropkick Murphys would have the audience line up on either side of the and have them charge each other. That was another one I'd been to.
I've never been to a hardcore show like that. It sounds really scary. The craziest show I've ever been to was a Blink-182 show, and the drummer was in like a rig and he turned upside down while he was drumming. And I was like, this is the craziest thing that's ever going to happen. But hearing you guys talk, it makes me feel like a little fraidy cat. Cause that sounds like, it sounds like I'd be in defense mode like the whole time. But yeah, that sounds so intense.
To be fair, most hardcore stories were not scary because there are a lot of very skinny teenage boys.
I really, what's the name of like the new, it's kind of a newer hardcore band, and they have an album about, I think with the word David in it, like it's like a story, it's kind of a narrative.
Oh, Fucked Up?
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. I saw them.
Yeah, David Comes to Life. Oh yeah, they're good.
They were pretty good. I saw them at the Echo, like not too long ago. And I feel like I can personally like handle the hardcore thing for like 20 minutes. I don't think I was alone because like they were the headliners of that night. And I know that they're a very popular band, and like they did an encore, like they left after their set and I went next door and got pizza. I was like, my fucking ears hurt. Just like, I was standing in the back, you know, like you do at some of these concerts where you're more just like, I felt like more of a spectator than a participant. And this dude was like, the Echo is such a small venue that he was almost getting to me. Like he was like romping around the crowd. He's sort of famous for it, right? The guy from Fucked Up. Like he's kind of famous you know.
Yeah, he
energy.
He do a lot of like wrestling stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he was inspired by a lot of like wrestling heels.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So he used to like cut his forehead like they would in like old wrestling shows.
Yeah. I don't think he did that time, but definitely that energy. And like,
yeah,
at the end of their set, I was like, I'm leaving. So were all my friends. and I went and got pizza next door. And then like, I was like, there's no way they're doing an encore. Like people left. They came back on and did another, like I heard it from the pizza place. I was like, good on them. Did you like, you say how long do you still go to these hardcore shows or like, I don't know, like,
I used to, like when I was in high school, me and my friends would go like at least once a week. Now I mean, when they were still having shows, I'd go maybe like a couple times a year.
Okay. So do you think like, what drew you to that?
It's very fast.
The music, you mean?
Yeah, it was fast and like aggressive. My dad was into punk, so I kind of started just listening as a little kid. It was just fun for shows. Like shows were real small, so like it felt way different than going to like a concert where you're like so far away from everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like half the like the allure of punk music and mosh pits and all that stuff is like, it is sort of like, if you enter the pit, it's like, well, I can punch and be punched here, and I can't really like, it's sort of like you have permission to just go like, like, if, which is like, not something I'm really looking for anymore, like in my 30s, where like falling down is like a big deal for me now. But it is like, we talked about this recently on the show. There's certain things it feels like that are like, I don't know. It's like this would attract like 14-year-olds and also scary adults. Do you know
what was the other thing that we were saying did that?
I think it was on an episode that maybe isn't getting released now, but or that got we lost. But like just the parties, you know, like certain parties.
Oh right, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Or like the parties that encourage like that where like 15-year-olds are welcome are also the one where like the scariest people on the planet will also show up. Like
that's right.
Sort of like the open doors policy or whatever. Like, I feel like that's, I'm not saying all punks are like that, because I definitely know people that just enjoy the scene and the music and, you know, punk for what it is. But I remember like going to a Godsmack concert and when I was like in seventh grade, and like, I don't know. I just, that's not punk, but I just remember being like, I am welcome here, as well as dudes who are trying to grope females who are like, stage diving or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
It's funny, James, that story like triggered just like so many. I think for me when I was a teenager, it was like, yeah, they were like at venues and small enough that you could access them with like very little cash. It was like, even though I was still like, I'd much rather like see Wyclef Jean or something in concert. It was like, I couldn't afford whatever that was, but it's like, you could go see any of those, like now I'm blanking on all of them, but any of those small bands for like $15 or whatever. And it's like, you're unsupervised. You can kind of like, this is not one of those shows, but we went and saw AC/DC at the Pepsi Center. And at this point, my friend Pat Funk, who was routinely responsible for getting us into trouble, had gotten a fake ID at this point. So we like he would like just go to a concession and buy a beer and like hit different concessions and get us all beers or whatever. And he made friends with the guys behind us drinking beer who were definitely of age and adults. And my other friend, Clint, who's kind of a dirtbag, got so drunk. He took this is the Pepsi Center, like where the Nuggets play. And we're just standing watching AC/DC. He took a piss from his seat and peed on the guys in front of him. And then they were like, we're going to fucking kill you. So we had to, I think we left early. They followed us, but the other adults that my friend Pat made friends with came to our defense and ended up fighting these other guys while a bunch of 16-year-olds ran to our cars and got in our Subaru. And Pat, this is all bad. Pat was drunk, but he drove, and we were driving out of the parking lot, and it was like kind of back to back, and he like went up on the curb or whatever to get us out of the parking lot and clipped one of the parking attendants with his rear view mirror. And we drove away from an AC/DC, what I assume was a fight that we somehow instigated between crazy adult dudes who were just like, fuck it, I'll fight for these 16-year-olds. I need an excuse. On top of that being a really crazy concert.
Peeing in your seat is nuts.
It's crazy.
I'm surprised both groups of adults didn't beat your asses for that.
They should have. They should have. Yeah. Took his dick out and pissed in at the Pepsi Center.
Hi. Thank you for meeting me. I'll make this quick. You've been a good employee here at Target.
Thank you.
We have, you know, we haven't had many problems up to this point. But great. We are going to let you go.
What?
Well, we have some security camera footage of someone in a red shirt with khakis smoking reefer in the toy section right by the puzzles. And you fit the description of it. And as much as it pains me to say it, you know, you've been working here for 6 years. Heck, you're the current employee of the month.
Yeah.
Which makes it even harder to find that you would do something like this. We've got to let you go.
I'm sorry, what are you basing this on?
The red shirt, the khakis, the medium build.
That could be any number of employees or just somebody who dressed like that.
It could be, but we can't prove who it is because we don't have the face. You fit the description, so you are our sacrificial
knock, lamb. Knock, knock.
Yeah. Come on in. I'm just firing somebody. Hey.
Come on in. I'm getting fired.
Oh, hey, boss. I just wanted to tell you, sorry I was late. I was walking. I fell into a medium-sized hole.
Oh, no.
But there were some good, you know, some people came by. They grabbed me. They got me out. Yeah, so... I'm going to go take a break. I'm a little worried and, you know, then I'll clock in a little bit, but I just wanted to say, sorry.
Clock in now. You don't have to clock out for taking your break. Clock in now. I am so sorry. You fell in a medium sized hole. These potholes in this city. It's like, what is this mayor doing? You know what?
That's what I'm saying.
You're brave. I want you to.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Hey. Take care of yourself. Have a snack.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, take, have a break.
What the fuck are you saying?
I'm telling him to take it easy, have a break, have a snack, stay punched in. And if you can work on the tardiness, that would be excellent. But as a guy who falls off stages and into holes 3 to 4 times a week, I understand.
You shouldn't even be on stages that many times, let alone falling off.
Excuse me. I'm a part of an a cappella group.
Hey, Joe, is that room empty?
No.
Could we use it?
Just give me it.
I'm fighting for my job in here.
Hey, that's kind of another thing.
Joe, is it empty?
Joe, answer him. I would answer, but he's talking to you.
What's up?
Is that room empty? Can we use it?
There are people in here.
Yeah.
We can use it like in about 3 hours when they get done.
Oh, it won't be that long. I've already given him most of the news. Jake, pack up your stuff and get out of here, okay? We don't need goofballs like you. Someone needs to take the bullet here, okay? We got to set an example. Someone was smoking reefer in the toy section by the puzzles. We don't need this kind of goofing off. You fit the description with your khakis and your red shirt. And now you're kind of giving me guff, which is a whole different sort of problem.
I'm not giving you guff. This entire store is all of its employees are doofuses. And I'm the only, if you were just in here.
Sorry, I just wanted, before I forgot, boss, I was wondering who I need to talk to about these puzzles. They're too hard. I know we don't have any customers complaining, but I know it's just a matter of time before customers are complaining about these hard puzzles. Just wanted to throw that out there.
I thought the same thing, actually. During these unprecedented times, a lot of these puzzles have put people really into their own heads because they can't complete them.
Why are we doing them? They should be bought by people. Why is the employee putting together puzzles?
I don't know. Why are you getting high like fucking Willie Nelson in the puzzle
section?
I'm
not getting high. I could put that puzzle together in 8 seconds because I'm sober and I don't fall into holes. Okay?
That's not fair.
Somebody else is.
That's not fair. You don't have to be high to fall in a hole.
Joe.
Yes. Yes.
Is that room almost empty?
It's not almost.
I know the puzzle area is like off. I know the puzzle area is like off limits now because of Jake.
Yeah, Jake's ruining everything, man. Why? Don't worry about it.
What puzzle area? And what in the fuck do you need this room for, James?
We cut to Jake returning home to his wife to give her the news that he's been let go from his job. He walks in the door.
Jesus Christ.
What? Who is it? Intruder!
What in the hell? Intruder! It's me!
Well, then who is this man in the hat that I was having sex with?
Oh, hey, Jake. Hey, God, man. What's up, dude? Do you got any glue that can put glass together that can also be waterproof?
Yeah, I do actually, but you don't get any of it because you're fucking my wife. You should be at work or at least putting together the puzzle in the room I got fired in because that's where I left you.
I am beside myself here. Was this one of your tricks, Jake?
why would this be one of my tricks to come home and watch you?
You're both wearing Yankees hats. How am I supposed to be able to tell the difference?
Josh, we're in the... You're not checking out of this early to go get pizza, my man. We just got to the beaches of Normandy. We got to keep storming.
But I heard French pizza, they like make it with like the real like mozzarella. The bread is better.
That's
here.
Probably true. That's probably true.
The bread is but better. You got to get famous for bread.
We committed to doing this the whole way through. You don't get to check out and go get pizza.
I kind of think I do if I want to. Excuse me, coming through. Excuse me. Bullets are flying.
Bombs
by.
Are missing. And like,
excuse me. Oh, God, I don't speak. Je m'appelle Josh.
You American?
Kay?
You're American?
Je suis Germano. Je suis Germano. Je suis Bavarian. Je suis
James. James, we're fighting the Americans. You don't get to just like check out and be a maitre d' to this guy trying to get a slice of pizza. Okay, we've got to defend the beaches.
I'm not.
Parlez-vous anglais?
I'm not good with a gun.
I don't care. Most of us aren't. This is a world war. We've got to do the best we can.
Did you know
the
you
two
shoot
of
them?
You can't.
Did you know when you shoot them, they like push back on you?
The guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I did notice that. I don't like that either. It's like if I shoot, it hurts my shoulder.
Uh-huh. And it makes you hungry.
We see like a big tank rumbling by, landmines are going off, explosions are happening in the sky, people are screaming.
Oh, let me ask this cabbie where the, excuse me, cabbie.
Yeah.
Bonk, 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 bonk. Excuse me.
Yeah.
My, I didn't get your name. Where are you, where are you from?
Oh, my name is Cab.
Not you, but I assumed it was Cabby. What a guess. This guy, the God. Guy in the other color uniform.
What?
You're on my side. Don't try to get in this pizza date now. You want to go play guns, cowboys and Indians or whatever you want to do out here. The other one, the one I was just talking to.
Yeah.
Yes, you. Do you want to go get lunch?
Oh, I'd love to.
Let's do it. Excuse me.
Yeah? France is famous for bread.
I did know that. I thought that maybe they're bread and wine, right?
Bread and wine, yeah.
Bread and wine.
We cut to the American side and we see guys looking through their binoculars, John's making it past the front lines. Oh my God, I think he's getting in one of those tanks. I think we might have a guy on the inside. Amazing. Everybody hold.
Oh, wow.
We come back.
Oh, this is interesting technology in here.
Yeah, it's pretty advanced. You want to try to drive it?
I wouldn't. Really? You let me drive it?
It's got power steering, so it's a lot easier than it seems.
Oh, look at this. Wow, you can even see through the periscope. Oh, that that particular soldier, he was a real butthole to me during boot camp. Let's see if we can send a scud his way.
You can, but just to warn you, there's like a big shock after this thing shoots.
Oh, it has kickback?
Yeah. Yeah. What?
All right, I'll just flatten him then. Tank goes right towards.
He just backs over an entire battalion of American soldiers.
Wow, they're like little ants. Those guys wouldn't let me get seconds at the mess hall. So, in my opinion, those uncultured buffoons maybe didn't deserve to live. Which way to the town square? Yes.
Oh, just make a right at the park.
Excellent. Do people ever have picnics on this beach, by the way?
We did before the war.
That sounds great.
It was nice. You know, my family grew up here.
They did. You know, it's funny to think, because as American, one of our privileges is we don't fight wars on our home turf. We sort of get to go wherever else. But, you know, if I'm going to go overseas.
We see a man run up to them with two grenades in his hand, and he stops right in front of them. Are you guys American?
Who's asking?
Me. And I hand you like a Mickey's.
You threw that right through the tank hole.
Enjoy France.
Mickey's. Mm-hmm. Not quite what I was expecting in France, but it'll do.
You know, that's a pre-dinner, just a little palate cleanser.
It's nice to pre-game a little bit.
Open the top and climb in. All right,
excuse us.
I grab James. I take him hostage.
Hey,
he is our hostage now. We're taking him, and we're going to use him as collateral to get information and get some of our prisoners back. Josh,
get prisoners back. Well, I don't know. Do we? I mean, I was thinking that we could use him collateral to get some free cheeses, or maybe we could. I don't know. Get some steak frites.
Look,
no steak free.
Look, don't hurt me. I'm willing to talk. I know I Great. Grew up here. My family's from here. I know Great. All the best creperies. I know all the best
croissants. Oh, gotta get a creperie. We gotta go to a creperie.
We're not going to a creperie or a croissantery.
There's a croissantery. I didn't even think of that.
We're gonna take this French tank and take this French prisoner.
Look, I'm sorry the Mickey's. I know where the wine is.
No, you're negotiating with the wrong guy, the idiot.
Don't call your friend that. Soldiers are brothers.
Not my friend. He backed over a bunch of us, and the whole boat ride over, he was talking about, like, where are we going to eat? Have you guys ever, does cheese make you farty?
Exactly. I didn't know where all these places are.
I was trying to start conversation. Everyone else was peeing their pants in fear. I'm just trying to see if cheese makes you farty. Excuse me for trying to, you know what?
Only your American processed wine cheese makes you farty.
I'm snapping for that.
We cut to back home. Josh's wife is writing Josh a letter. You've been gone for 3 months, and I miss you every day. My heart grows fonder and my bosom's bigger. I long for the day you return. Please tell me how much you miss me, how much your love for me has grown stronger and kept you alive during the war. I put it into a little envelope and mail it. And we see it travel all the way to Josh sitting outside a French cafe.
Sipping some coffee.
Hey, oui, oui.
Read this letter. My bosoms grow bigger. Doubtful. That's the thing with American women. They don't understand romance like you French women do. They make false promises about adults growing bigger titties, when really the most romantic thing of all is to have a cigarette in an open relationship. Do you not agree, Rosé?
Oh, yes. I agree 100%. Can I have another cigarette, please?
Yes, wee wee. Gives us a cigarette.
Oh, I love cigarettes. I love cigarettes.
I love cigarettes too. We see bombs dropping overhead. Should we go see the Eiffel Tower, or is that too cliche?
Oh, it is very cliche, but we must see it. Yes.
Wonderful.
We cut back, and I get my letter back. let's see what my dearest Josh has to say. Some sweet, loving words to keep me holding on.
I'm having sex with a French woman named Rosé.
Okay, maybe that's just a little role play.
Quit writing checks. quit letting your mouth write checks that your tiny titties can't cash.
Okay, well, that's not very nice at all. Let's see, there's a couple drawings here of him appearing to open a croissantery. this is. He said that he farted into the envelope.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, let's get back to the meat part of the podcast where a guest shares a true meaty story from their life. Joe, you are up. What would you like to talk about?
Okay, I want to talk about the time I fixed my own tooth.
Cool.
So I guess a little background is it's like a family thing, but a lot of the people in my family are born with like baby teeth and they stay baby teeth. Like they don't get any bigger. So when I was a kid,
you have to
I had braces.
Pause for a second there.
Yeah.
You just don't lose your baby teeth that you're born with, or are you?
No, you tiny lose teeth? Them, but yes, you lose the baby teeth and then barely bigger teeth come in. Like not even like barely bigger teeth come in. So I was lucky enough, that I was able to have braces and stuff when I was a kid. And then like in, I think middle school, I actually got porcelain veneers in my teeth. And I didn't really understand what porcelain veneers were when I was a kid. I thought they were just like the same thing as like caps or something.
What are they?
But, they're basically like caps, but they're like, I guess basically they're more expensive from what I've understood. I guess they're supposed to look nicer and last longer, but they're very expensive. And, but I have a memory of the dentist whenever he was putting the porcelain veneers on, you had to file down your teeth to like have them fit around the tooth.
Fucking God.
And I didn't feel him filing down the teeth or anything. It wasn't painful at all. But right before he put the veneers on, he was like, "Do you want to see what your teeth look like?"
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
"I was like, yeah, sure, sure." And he put a mirror up to my mouth, and it looked like it was the scariest. It was so scary because it was like your mouth was just little tiny like nubs, and I was like, I have that memory still in my head today of like just being like, why would he show me that? That was so scary. But then 10 minutes later, I had like the best teeth ever. You know what I mean? Like he just put the veneers on and it looked really good. And then, so I guess that was his justification was like, I'm going to scare you. But then you get like here, this is like what you look. But cut to like maybe a couple years ago, I wasn't taking care of the veneers like you're supposed to. I was just taking care of them like teeth. You know, I wasn't taking care of them in the way you probably should have. And they chipped. And I had like a really bad chip on my front right tooth. I chipped it biting my fingernail. And it was like half the tooth was like gone. And it was like, it was bad. And I did research online to see like how much is this going to cost me? And like a cap is like a few hundred dollars, but like to replace a porcelain veneer is like $1,000-something, which I didn't have. So I did some research online and I found like what the dentist used to fix teeth with, like the compound. And like, I found that you could like actually order that on Amazon. It's like this pre-dent, like composite paste that you mix with like a resin base, and you mix it together, and you kind of like mold the tooth, and you put it on the area you want to put it on with like a catalyst liquid. And I bought it all. It was only like $50. I was like, all right, screw it. $50. I'll try it. If it doesn't work out, I'll have to figure something out. But I didn't have like the $1,000 to get this fixed. So I bought it online on Amazon, and it came in, and I followed the instructions, and I put it on, and I had the craziest looking, biggest front right tooth that it was horrible. It didn't look natural. It was like two teeth on top of each other, and it was like my very front tooth, and it hardened real fast. So it wasn't even like I could just like scrape it and just try again. It was like, nope, this is like a tooth material right here on your face.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so
did you have to make like a did you put the paste on your tooth and then shape it from there, or like do you have to like make a little thing that looks like a tooth and put it on your tooth?
Well, because I wasn't replacing a whole tooth, it was almost like I was like patching part of the tooth,
like drywall.
So like I didn't form like a full, it was a lot like drywall. So like instead of like forming like a whole tooth, I basically just put the two compounds together, because they come separate, because if they come in contact with each other, it's just a matter of seconds before they harden to tooth. So like I mixed the two together and formed it as best I could, and then put the catalyst on it, and then just hoped it was okay. And in my head, I was thinking if it was a little too big, it'd be better than if it was too small, because they came with like this shaping paper that you use to kind of shape it. So like I spent the whole next day, I was off of work, so I didn't have to, anyone saw it, which is good. But I spent like a whole day with this shaping paper, which is like really, really, really fine, like sandpaper almost. And I was just like shaping my tooth for like a whole day.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt or anything like that. I wasn't like feeling any pain. I was just feeling like a complete idiot in my house. Just like rubbing my front tooth. I mean, now it looks great. You know what I mean? Like now, it looks great. It looks great. I don't regret doing it. But at the time, I was like, this is the worst. Because it was like, I was like, I had like a vampire tooth or something. Like my front tooth was just so, it was just crazy looking. It didn't look natural. It wasn't just like, oh, you just have like a little bit of a crooked tooth. It was like, no, somebody did that to you purposely. Like for some reason, like the front of my teeth looked, I don't know. It was rough.
So it worked out? You're
right. Oh, it worked out great. Oh yeah. I even patched up another one that was a little chipped. That one turned out like a lot better because I learned my lesson. So like, yeah, no, now I ain't going to the dentist anymore. I'll just patch my own teeth up.
That is fucked. I can't.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. This like thing that runs in your family basically makes you have tiny teeth. Has any member of your family just been like, I'm rocking the tiny teeth? Or is it like, is it cosmetic, the issue? Or is it more like...
It's all, yeah, it's 100% cosmetic. Like, I have, I think, like, maybe some great aunts and, you know, grandparents. You know, when, you know, braces and stuff weren't as popular and everything. It's, you know, it's not like they had a hard time eating. Like, they could still function and stuff. But, it, yeah, it's 100% more, like, I guess, just cosmetic. Yeah. Because my dad got caps when he was older.
So how many teeth do you have caps on?
I have like veneers on like all my top teeth except for the ones in the very back, you know? So like just like the front teeth, yeah.
I would never know. I have one fake tooth. But they did like a full root canal. It's because I broke it in half, but they did a full root canal on it and then put like a implant in. I don't know. But like, do you still have your roots and stuff like that? So like, there's still like a little, yeah, a little.
It's root still roof. Like, yeah, the dentist showed me that when I was a kid. So like, I still have like a tiny stub tooth with a root connected.
Oh boy.
How often do they break?
Oh boy.
I guess you said they,
I
had a cap for a minute on this tooth and it just broke off all the time.
I've been really self-conscious about my teeth now. So, they haven't been breaking or anything like that, but I like purposely now, cause I know that the handiwork that's going on in my mouth is made by me. So it could break at any moment. I purposely avoid like foods that are like kind of crunchy and like, you know, hard to eat and stuff. It's like, I don't trust that my teeth can hold up to like strong, like apples and stuff. I would never bite into an apple. Never.
Was there any reviews that like comforted you? Like, I mean, I felt
there were the,
I was just going to say, like, my PlayStation broke one time and someone was like, I looked up online, like, oh, you just get a heat gun that you would use on, like, to, like, when you're wiring stuff together, when you're, like, soldering or whatever, and you can, like, use that heat gun on the hard drive of your PlayStation and it should, like, make it so it all works again. And I did that. I mean, I was in the depths of the PlayStation forums trying to figure this out. And I did, and it worked for like 3 months and then broke again. But like, that to me was like a deep dive on the internet, like to figure out a problem. Like, who did you find on your deep dive? Like, what were the reviews like? Like, what was the website?
Once I found the product name, I went on YouTube and looked up to see if anybody else or if this is like a how to do it. And what I found was one of the scariest videos I've ever seen on YouTube of this guy fixing multiple teeth and then being like, he talked about how he does it all the time and how like, you got to make sure it's dry. So he just did this breathing exercise into the camera of like drying his own teeth with his own breath. And it was like watching like Hannibal Lecter, like doing that, like, barba bean scene, and I was like watching this guy and I was just like, yeah, I can do this. I was like, if that guy can do this with multiple teeth, I think, wow, I can do this with one tooth. So I found one guy.
Wouldn't that guy saying I do this all the time be a bad sign?
Yeah, well, at the time, telling you guys, I was desperate. I had like a broken tooth. I was like going out on auditions. I wasn't getting, you know what I mean? Like all my headshots, I had like teeth. So like I was going into these auditions with missing a tooth. You know what I mean? I didn't want to tell my agent at the time. So I was just like, no, I'm going to make this work, you know? Yeah. So I was desperate.
That's funny. That's some late stage capitalism stuff right there. Like having to go on the internet to look up tutorials for how to like fix your own teeth, to go sell Bounty paper towels or whatever. I'm right there with you. Believe me, I'm not making fun of, I haven't fixed my own teeth for it, but I know that feeling of, you know, gussying yourself up so that you look good for a commercial audition.
Oh, that, I mean, that wasn't, I don't know what it was about that story, but it was like turning my stomach, and you weren't graphic, and there were just the idea of home dentistry, I think, is really freaking me out. I can't believe, I did not think that story was going to end with a success. I thought you were going to be like, so then I had to go to the dentist and spend $2,000 or whatever.
I'm afraid of going to the dentist because I know when the dentist opens my mouth and looks at it, they're going to be like, who was your last dentist?
Okay, James, yes, I can promise you when you get out of here, you're going to be as good as new. I'm going to show you what your prolapsed rectum looks like now. And then when you see it after we put it back inside, you'll be delighted by it.
And the work we're doing. Dr. Jabor, I really don't need to see that.
Are you sure? It looks fucking crazy.
Yeah, I am positive. I can feel it, and it don't feel good.
No, I can't imagine it feels good. I'm just telling you, it is haunting. It looks like Snuffleupagus is coming out of your butt, is what I'm saying. You want to get a look at it before we fix it?
Again, no. I'd rather get this done, go back to work, and just carry on with my day.
I'll tell you what, I'll just snap a couple of Polaroids. I'll mail them to you in a couple of weeks. Won't tell you when. Won't even address it on the thing. You'll just get an envelope.
Dr. Jabor.
You won't see it coming, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not going to show you now, but sometime in the future, you're going to get a couple of photos of your prolapsed.
I don't want this.
Lighting was weird. Let me get an okay. That's two photos. Now I'll fix it. Lickety split. Okay. Your old rectum is back. Yeah. Rectum damn near back to normal. Okay.
Damn near.
So it is. I was it's a joke. Play on words, rectum, damn near killed him. You'd get it if you saw it, but you will. Someday I'm going to send you these Polaroids so you can get a good look at your butthole.
Dr. Jabor, you're the best doctor in Riverside.
Thank you.
You gave me a heart transplant when I needed it, and it worked out perfectly. I'm alive because of you. Yeah. I don't need you to, show me everything that's going on.
I know you say that, but I have found that people take their life for granted post-operation, and a good way to remind them of how bad things were is a literal physical reminder. So I've taken it upon myself to send people photos of before throughout Riverside County. You're not the only one. I'm not picking on you specifically. I had a guy split his penis right down, like hot dog style. Hot dog bun style. Took a couple of those photos.
Oh, really? Like, you mean a hot dog sandwich?
Like a bun. Like the bun.
Yeah, but when you make a hot dog sandwich, you cut it down like the center. And
there you go. Like a hot dog sandwich. Yeah. I knew a guy who used to cut a hot dog down the middle and put mashed potatoes in between. That was disgusting. I should send him photos. But I won't because he's not my customer. But that guy with the split wiener, one Christmas, 8 years later, pulled out of his stocking what he thought was a framed photo of probably a kid or a loved one, old Dr. Jabor. I'm like the Santa Claus of pre-op photos.
We cut to that guy's living room with his wife.
What the fuck is it, honey?
The guy with the penis picture in his living room. Honey, please, we have family coming over. I would really, really like it if you just put that in the study just for one night.
Well, how did it get in my stocking? How did it get in my stocking? Answer me that. You want me to just gloss over this? Are you telling me old Saint Nick dropped this Polaroid down the chimney and I got to look at my filleted penis? Or did you do it? I didn't even know you when this happened. How did you get my hot dog style cock photo? You want me to just put this caper to rest? This is alarming.
It's beautiful. No, it's beautiful. This shows you what happened to you and like how much you've grown. I think it's amazing.
How did it get in my Christmas stocking?
Okay. We see me tiptoe past the window and I put my finger to my nose like in the Christmas poem.
We keep following this character as he climbs on different roofs, dropping horrific photos down people's chimneys. Oh, it's old Saint Nick. Let's
jingle, jingle, jingle. Now we're in that family's house.
Whoa, our stockings are full.
Awesome. Let's see what we got. Oh my god.
Oh crap. It's just pictures of my dick that time we got spiraled open.
Oh yeah. Oh my god. I'm sorry.
It looked like those
Steve-O.
Yeah,
this is horrible for you, Steve-O.
Yeah, it looked like a slinky dog. But pull it apart.
Yeah.
Again, you see me walk past the window, putting my finger to my nose.
Dashing through the snow on a one horse open sleigh. We see him get in a Toyota Corolla with a box full of Polaroids. He pulls over.
I'm hucking him out the window. Okay, pull over.
Climbs up a ladder onto another roof.
Yeah.
There's a husband and wife making love by their fire at the bottom of a chimney. A Polaroid comes down the chimney and floats right in front of their faces. What is this? You said you didn't have any work done.
Oh no, that's the picture of my penis. Whenever I got it, when it got in that grading accident, it got graded.
Well, I'm not in the mood. I'm out of the mood.
Another photo floats down. It's of her.
I don't know what that is.
Hey, what is this? What is that photo of?
It's just one big boob with feet.
That's it. I'm going to the roof. Hey, get down here, you pervy. Falls off the ladder.
A little card falls out of my thing. She picks it up. It says the Dr. Claus.
Oh, this is that guy that took the feet off my titties.
her nightgown turns into a doctor's coat. She's the card says, "You killed the doctor. This is the Dr. Claus. You now have to deliver the rest."
What?
Photos.
I have to deliver the rest of these horrific photos to former patients of this doctor on Christmas Eve. Sweetheart.
She grows a big beard.
Where did that
Honey, what is going on? You're turning into a doctor with a big beard.
I have got work to do. This is the one night of the year that I have to go to work. Will you please, just for one night, work on your attachment issues?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes throwing pictures through windows to save time.
We're just hearing people scream.
Here's an old
a picture lands on this guy's dick. And he cuts it.
Well, let me throw you my card too.
Good Lord, Joe. Go home. You said you fixed your teeth for this audition. You got one giant tooth. It's taking up your entire mouth. Go home.
what are you talking about? I'm ready, man. I got my lines learned. I need this opportunity, man.
You've got, what did you do? It looks like you filled in all the cracks in between your teeth and you just have one large tooth.
Yeah. It looks good from far away. It looks good from far away. You can't really tell. I mean, yeah, I agree. Close up, it looks a little weird. But from far away, it just looks like a white, you know, like the whitest mouth you've ever seen. Like, it looks so good, right?
It looks insane. It looks like somebody slipped a whole piece of raw fish in between your gums. Look, I can't have you here for this audition. This is Orbit's You've Got a Dirty Mouth campaign, okay? We can't have this. You got to go home, go to a dentist, and fix your teeth.
If I go to the dentist, they're going to take the fish out of my mouth. Do you know how long it took for me to make it look like I have one singular tooth? I mean, I'm not going to a dentist. It's going to take me forever. I just really wanted this opportunity. I just really wanted to.
I'm sorry. I said it looked like a fish. Do you actually have a fish in your mouth that you shaped like one tooth?
Yes. Yeah. I got a fish at a Kroger's, and I spent all night. I put an actor prepares. And I spent all night.
Sorry, I'm
molding
late.
This fish to look like one.
Sorry, I'm late. I got a little woozy in the parking lot. Is this the Orbit's Dirty Mouth campaign? This is the Orbit's
Yeah, report? It is.
Okay.
What is going on inside your mouth?
Well, I read on the casting call that you only wanted us to have one tooth, so I. I knocked out the rest of my teeth, and now I'm just,
What?
I figured you said you, I don't know if I read into it too much, but I heard something about one tooth being ideal for this, so I knocked out the rest of my teeth, and I'm ready to sell some Orbits, so where's
Yeah, we needed, like, what, we were gonna, like, have a little glimmer on one tooth, so we wanted, like, a one-tooth glimmer, not just a single tooth.
Well, save yourself some money with, in post, because I got one tooth.
No. I can't. This looks. You're bleeding all over the place, sir.
Okay, so get those editors back and have them take care of the blood. But I took care of the tooth.
You also seem too woozy to read the lines.
I can read the lines. Where's my eyeline? Hi, Josh Simpson, willing to shave.
We don't know.
You see my hands?
You're holding all your teeth in your hands. You've got to put those down.
Okay.
Hey, sorry I'm late. Is this where we drop off the envelope?
I do. This is the audition for the Orbit's gum.
Yeah, it said you needed one tooth, so I pulled out a tooth, put it in an envelope. I'm going to drop it off.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to shoot a commercial with a single fucking tooth. Look,
I don't know. I read the thing wrong. Maybe.
All right.
Look, I have out back with pliers and I pulled a tooth out and here it is.
Oh my God. Okay. You know what?
These stage moms are the worst.
Jesus Christ. Look, I'm sending you all home. We're not doing Orbits. Come back tomorrow. We're going to do Spalding basketball. Okay.
How many teeth do you need?
I don't need any teeth. Keep your fucking teeth.
You don't want any teeth? Oh,
no, don't do it. Stop it. All your mouths are fucked.
I like apple. I'll eat applesauce for the rest of my life.
But I'm not even doing an applesauce commercial. You've more.
To be fair, I'm only missing one tooth now, so it's not really fun.
I don't. Well, no, but there, it's your front tooth, and you've handed me an envelope with a bloody tooth. I don't. It's. We're gonna shoot a basketball commercial tomorrow. All you guys got to do is show up and dribble. Okay, you got to have two arms and two legs. That should keep you covered. Okay.
How many teeth?
We get to the next day. All right, Spalding basketball, Joe Setti.
Yep, I'm here. I have these arms that are strong and these legs that are strong. They're totally mine, and I'm ready to play.
Why did you say they're totally yours?
I know they might be a little stinky. I just got done working out a little bit before I came in. I just don't, you know, they're just mine. They're 100% mine.
Okay, well, you can take off those long sleeve shirt and pants. We need to see you in a tank top and shorts, my friend.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're fish. They're fish I bought from Kroger's. Okay. My legs and arms are weak. So I got fish and I put them all over me to make it look buff. And I'm sorry. I really need this.
Harry, I'm right.
My character rolls in.
We're selling basketballs, Harry.
Jesus Christ.
Pick me up, dribble me, do whatever you like.
Where are your arms and legs?
I got rid of them because I'm method. Now.
How did you get rid of the last arm?
Huh?
How did you logistically get rid of your last
garage arm? Garage door. An actor doesn't share his secrets. Now, stick an air pump up my ass and let's get to dribbling. Spalding.
No.
The official ball of the NBA.
Is this a parcel drop off?
What's in the box?
Arms and legs. You said I needed two.
Jesus Christ. Whose arms and legs are these?
Some guy that wanted to be an actor.
So he's not even here. Okay, let's see. You know what? I'm short on time. I'm going to pop these arms and legs on this fella.
Whoa.
I'm going to roll these fish into a basketball.
Hey!
Okay. You'll be the referee. Here's your whistle. All right.
Where's my eyeline?
Here. Do you see it? Here's your eyeline.
I don't see it. I took out my eyeballs.
Why? Why would you take them out and ask where your eyeline is?
Well, I'm a professional, so I have to ask where the eyeline is. I booked something for Ray-Bans the other day, and I had to take out my eyeballs because they were too distracting.
Jesus Christ! You booked it though?
Oh yeah. Well, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. There's no problem that we've seen here at late stage capitalism headquarters that we don't know how to deal with. All right. So it's not too depressing. It's not there's nothing too horrific, too dystopian that we can't find a simple solution to.
I sold my baby's brain.
Say it again.
I sold my baby's brain to help build an automaton.
You sold your baby's brain. I mean, welcome to the year 2056. I mean, that's what we do. We said baby brains work automatons. So we can't build houses without baby brain automatons, you know, doing their bidding. Okay. Well, this is kind of routine. I thought the way you came in here with like all those tears in your eyes, like you'd been through something, made me think that like we were going to.
I did. That baby, that was the smartest baby on the block. She knew how to read at age two.
Okay. Okay. But now that baby's building our civilization. It's building our little condo units, aka bunk bed domiciles, where our working class lives. So, and by working class, I mean other automatrons. So, you know what I would I can get that this is your first time dealing with an empty-headed baby, and that might be hard for you.
I saw the automaton on the way in.
You saw your. Well, are you sure you recognize your baby's brain, or did it recognize you?
For a second, yeah, it stopped for a second and looked at me. It said "dad," and it didn't finish, and it just kept going.
That happens. And to be honest with you, a lot of these automatrons have abandonment issues. They will try to attach themselves to different people. I mean,
it didn't even look human. It just looked like a giant rod.
That's what automatrons are. They're rods that basically
But Abby, that say dad to you? That's fucked.
They go, bah. They go, ma. They go, da, da. I can't walk to work. I can't walk past a construction zone without having to beat these things off with a my automatron fly swatter. What I'd like to recommend for you is that what we got is a speak and spell, and we can put it into your baby's skull. They make these tiny now. So when you pull on the back of the baby's head, it'll say some words that will make you feel like the baby is alive and well and developing. And you
do
can
I have to type in the word before it does it?
No, you don't type anything in. They're pre-programmed. Have you ever seen a speak and spell? You know what I'm talking about?
It might
about?
Not be what I'm thinking of.
It's like the one where there's like different farm animals and then you pull the string and then the arrow lands on a cow and it goes.
Okay. This yeah, one, I know what you're talking about. Just, I thought a speak and spell was the one where you like type in a word and then it says it for you.
You know what? You're probably right. That sounds better. Yeah, that's I've been calling it a speak and spell the whole time. But I myself am a husk of a human being. I am an IBM computer.
Is that your baby over there? Is that your baby over there? The one with the it has the like the metal wires with the little balls that you move on it?
If that is my baby, I have no attachment to it, and I could pour water on it without blinking an eye. I'm just having a laugh. Let me ask you, while you're here, do you have any of your body parts that you could spare, or?
Yeah.
Any bones? Just, we do need bones. We're trying to grind bones down into dust so that we can perhaps use those bones as that bone dust as building blocks for other more efficient creatures than human beings.
Sure. I don't, none of them are original anymore. They're all made from different paste.
Okay, so you've already gotten rid of your bones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knock knock. Is this room being used?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well,
what do you need?
Nothing.
Don't call me that. Don't call me that. You'll only be disappointed.
It's my break.
Automatrons don't get breaks. Hold on. He goes up to the person, looks them right in the eye, and he whispers, "You are a cog. You are a cog. You are a cog." Pokes him in the eye. Okay, that should do it.
Back to work. Back to work.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so you don't have bones.
Not original bones.
Not original bones. All right, so that's... You're basically taking up space. How's your brain? What kind of things do you know? Do you remember stuff?
I remember everything with the old ways.
Shh, don't say that kind of thing around here.
I can't. I just every time I rest at night, I think of the old ways, the ways that our people used to be.
We see a big rugby player just break into the door and run towards James. You have spoken of the old ways. You must come with us.
I don't do this to me. I just remember lunch breaks. I remember going to Sbarro and getting a slice.
Have fun at the Annie DeFranco concert.
I remember minimum wage.
Okay, shut it. We don't talk about minimum wage. We don't talk about wage.
I remember used cars.
We cut to the Annie DeFranco concert. Okay, listen up, you artificial bags of bones. Nobody can afford tickets to concerts anymore, so we need to fill this with artificial fans. So that's your job. When Annie DeFranco comes out and plays Mississippi, we need to hear some oohs and ahs. Don't have a good time. Not that you could anymore. We've got some of you, which are artificial pasties. We got a couple of babies with no brains and a couple of automatrons showing you to your seat. So this is an artificial concert. It's going to be streamed later for anybody who can afford it, which is about 8 people at this point. So we're not going to play the actual music. We're just going to, because we can't afford the rights to it. So we're just going to read the song and cue you to cheer.
And
question.
Where's my mark? if I'm going to be entering the song at some point, if I'm playing the part of Ani, do I move the Ani automatron off of the stage or do I take over for it? In my experience, the automatrons tend to kind of upstage what I am trying to do as an actor.
Wait. From the rafters, I see the prophesied one, Millie the Pooch.
No!
Millie, she's with Clementine, she's come to save us.
Go!
I'm gonna get that.
Millie, get.
Yes. Pay no attention to that revolutionary dog. Guy from Frasier, we're gonna Frasier. Need you to put. Guy from Cheers, sorry. We're going to need you to put down that French bread pizza. And we just need nothing more from you than to ooh and ah during the Annie DeFranco song.
We see Millie take a big bite of a bag of Clementines and it shoots the citrus water into the eyes of the guards. Millie.
They all start malfunctioning.
Millie's done it.
Millie didn't do it. I did it. I was getting the directions. Here, I'll squeeze some Clementines into the guard's eyes.
It fixes the guards back to the way they
no!
were.
No! All right, that'll do it for this week's episode of The Meat Improv. Thank you so much, Joe and James, for being on.
Yeah, thank you, dudes. That was really fun.
That was so much fun. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Let's plug stuff. So we'll go around and you can plug whatever you like. Let's start with you, James. What do you want to tell our listeners about?
Every Tuesday, we're doing, me and Joe are on a team called Cosmo. We do We Improv. You could watch it on Twitch at 9.
Cool. At We Improv. That's right. Net or something?
Yeah, twitch.tv/weimprov. Awesome.
Joe, you got anything else besides that?
If you're hard up for cash and you need somebody to work on your teeth, look me up. I might be able to help you out. But no, catch us on Cosmo 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. It's a lot of fun, and thanks again, guys.
You got it. Yeah, Jake?
Yeah, yeah. Catch these guys on twitch.tv/weimprov, or follow me at Wake Up With Jacob. I'm occasionally doing stuff.
Awesome. I'm at Jar Simpson on Instagram and Twitter. By the time this is out, I should have a video that's up about Prop 22 and how you shouldn't vote for it. But so check that out. It's probably on Twitter, Instagram, or Lazy Susan is my page on YouTube. So that's it. The Meat is on all the social networks at The Meat Improv. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/TheMeatImprov, where you can get an extra episode every week and access to our Discord channel. And we also got t-shirts at tpublic.com/TheMeatImprov, I believe. That's it. Thank you so much for listening. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next time on
The Meat.
Improv.